Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. God bless you, and you may be seated. My. We have had a wonderful time on the mountain. God has visited us. He really did. He really did. God met with us in so many wonderful ways. And it was a wonderful privilege of mine to speak to an audience and a group of men who already had such a good understanding of the things of God. It was so easy to teach them because they could grasp what I was talking about. And I appreciated that so very, very much. Amen. And then the committee, Brother Isaacs and the committee, did such a wonderful job of organizing everything. I enjoyed working with them. And then after the graduation, your pastor came and joined us. It is always a joy to work with him. I guess you folks know that you have the best pastor in the entire world, don't you? I thought you already knew. I just thought I'd remind you. Anyhow, that's the way I feel about him. And we thank God for the ministry that the Lord has given to him. And I thank God for the tremendous ministry that he can get out of you. I've just never seen anyone like him that can get everybody involved into the work of the Lord, ministering to each other. So many places I go, I try to teach the ministry of the saints and get the people to understand that it is everyone that's filled with the Holy Ghost that is to minister to each other. And it was a pleasure to come somewhere where they were already doing it. Amen. I could stand back and just kind of watch them a little bit instead of getting so involved myself. Some places I go to local churches several times a year for a couple of nights. And oft times I spend one whole night teaching the ministry of the saints. I always teach. Sometimes when they expect me to preach, I just get a little bit louder. Praise God. But how we thank God that they've already grasped these concepts. I know when we have prayer for the sick, I always invite the believers out of the audience to come and lay hands on the sick. Scripture says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They referring to believers. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Yes. I'm so glad you had these campers to stand because I haven't been able to recognize them. They look so different. Would you stand again? I need to take another look at you. Everyone that was at the retreat, my, you look quite different. For the first time in my life, I preached in a sports shirt. I've been preaching 37 years. Never preached in a sports shirt. It was a new experience. But it seems to me like someone said, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I did it. Whoever invented the necktie probably was drunk anyhow. And now, if your wife is here tonight, you're a wife to these campers, would you stand with them? I want to see you. All right. Very good. Very good. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now we have come here tonight, Christian Life Center, to the grand conclusion of the camp. This is an extended meeting of the camp. And so nice to have this great youth choir in the camp meeting. What happened to your outfit? You folks are people of many outfits. Praise God. Believe me, it's unusual, very rare for me to be away from the flock that I pastor and shepherd in Charleston on Sunday night. But I just felt like it was the will of the Lord to be here with you for these meetings. And of course, your pastor is extremely difficult to say no to. And I just feel like I'm here in the will of the Lord tonight. And I'm happy to be here with you. I tell you one thing, though. I'm getting old enough that it's a little more difficult for me to shift gears. And our brothers have been talking about their sons graduating. Well, my grandson graduated from Bible college this last year. I'm an old man. Someone at the camp heard that and asked me why I didn't have any wrinkles. I said, that's easy. You just keep them stretched out. Praise God. I want to publicly thank Brother Jeff Garner and Brother Nathaniel Haney. Brother Nathaniel's not here tonight. Is he here? Oh, there he is. Okay. I want to thank them for going to Ethiopia with me. They went as part of the intercessory team. And there was nights that they didn't go to bed at all. They just prayed all night long. And that camp and that crusade would have been very, very, very different without their help. And I want them to go with me again next year. I really do want them. I don't know what's going to happen next year. My, it's just getting greater and greater. I talked to Brother Teclamarium this evening, and he said there's well over 50,000 that they have registered their names that received the Holy Ghost in that single service. And he said, we haven't received the report from many, many churches yet. So I don't know what the final count is going to be. But I know that God is doing great things in these last days. This next year, I want your pastor to go as one of our teachers. And I know that that will be a great blessing to that great people. They will stand in the sun. They will stand in the sun for 7 hours and never leave. And just one after another teaches and preaches and talks to those people. Isn't that wonderful? The revival in Ethiopia is greater than anything that has been recorded in the book of the New Testament. It is greater. The apostles never seen a revival like it's happening in Ethiopia. And that should mean something to us. That should mean something to us. And there's other nations on their way. Papua New Guinea is on their way to be another Ethiopia. El Salvador is on their way to be another Ethiopia. I pray it happens in Brazil.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And many other places. It's not impossible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Since it's so hard for me to shift gears, I just ain't going to do it. You know, you get as old as I am, you can do as you please. Praise the Lord. And you folks that come here tonight wanting a cup of milk, all I know to do is say, sorry, you're not going to get it. You're going to get some heavy stuff tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you turn in with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew? Is this watch right? 7 p.m.? We've been here an hour and a half already. Now, whose fault is that? You all want me to preach or testify? Okay. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. We shall begin reading with verse 13. Would you want to stand while we read the word of the Lord? Oh, by the way, I think this is one of the greatest churches there is in the entire world. You are so precious to me. And when I look over this audience tonight here on Sunday night, and I know many others were here in other services today that are not here tonight, you are indeed one of the most beautiful sights I have ever seen in my life. Someone says, "Oh, Brother Cole, you're very kind." Anybody that knows me knows that I'm also very straightforward. And I do not flatter, but I mean that sincerely from the bottom of my heart. God bless you. Keep up the good work and the great ministries that you're doing. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Let me stop here just a moment and tell you what I believe the rock is that he's talking about. I believe he's talking about the revelation of who Jesus is. That's the rock he's talking about. Are you glad that you know who he is? "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Everyone say principalities.
Principalities.
"Against powers." Would you say powers with me?
Powers.
"Against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Would you say world with me?
World.
"Against spiritual wickedness in high places." Would you say high places with me?
High places.
Now, one more scripture we will read for our beginning foundation, found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that last little phrase is so valuable. According to the will of God. Would you lift your hands with me as I pray? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the beautiful, beautiful Spirit of God that has been with us throughout the entire camp. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the wonderful Spirit of God that is come to be with us again tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the house is full of people that love the Lord. I thank you for all of the distinguished men of God that we have standing here on this platform. God bless this youth choir that has blessed us tonight. And now, Lord, I pray that you will anoint this congregation to receive the word of the Lord. I pray, Lord God, that there shall not be a single person offended by the preaching of the word of God, but that they shall be drawn closer to you, that they shall be lifted up. And Lord, I pray that you shall anoint my mind, cause my mind to be alert, and loose my tongue, that I may speak to your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Would you worship the Lord with me again? I worship you, Lord Jesus. And I praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Would you shake hands with someone before you're seated and tell them you like their hairdo? Now, Brother Sebo, give me his hat. Can I have my hat back?
Yes.
If you don't mind, I'm not going to wear it. Oh, you want me to wear it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just put it on. How's that? And for the anointing, I'll lay it right here. The world tonight is in spiritual darkness. And for the most part, they are aware of it. Most of the national, international leaders of the world realize that things are out of control. And there's really not very much that they can do about it. That there is an unseen spirit world that seems to be in charge and in control. I have traveled around the world more than 20 times in the work of God. And I have seen spiritual darkness at its darkness. And by the way, where you're at, Brother Womer, is just about as dark as it gets. But God's going to help you. God's going to help you. Amen. I have seen spiritual darkness in South India, where they would actually come together and have great groups of people that was there for one single person, purpose, and that was to worship evil spirits. Someone said, Brother Cole, when you go to a place like that and go into a temple like that, are you afraid? Absolutely not. Let me tell you something. He that's within me is greater than he that's in the world. I'm not afraid of the devil. Someone said, ah, Brother Cole, you talking like that, you'll fall off of that platform tonight and break your leg. Well, if I fall off of this platform and break my leg, don't you give the devil one bit of credit. It'll be because I'm too fat and awkward. The devil have nothing to do with it. Amen. I'm not afraid of the devil. I've never been in a Buddhist temple or a Hindu temple where I was ever afraid of the devil. Never. Let me tell you something. He's afraid of me. Because God lives within me. And he's afraid of you. Are you aware? You know, the political world always reflects the spirit world. If you want to know what's going on in the spirit world, in any given governmental conclusion, all you have to do is take a look at the government and see what the government is doing. You know what that means? That means in America that his spirit is totally broken. Because they don't have the least idea what they're doing or where they're going. Can you say amen? I know that was funny, but it's the truth. The back of Satan has been broken in America. And the only reason we're not having revival in America is because of our own stinking attitude toward each other. If we could get together and quit our fussing and fighting and quarreling over everything, I'm telling you, we would have a revival like this world has never seen before. But I have seen spiritual darkness. I was in North India on one occasion, and there was a starvation taking place, and they were literally selling children because they couldn't feed them. And of course, the Hindu religion is very strong there, and they have an unusual attitude towards the holy cow, that it is extremely sacred, and they will not kill it for food. And someone had the audacity to kill two of them while I was there for food. And it resulted in a riot that over 300 human beings died because those two cows were killed. Now that, my friend, is spiritual darkness. On another occasion, a holy cow got on, that's the cow with the hump on the back, got on a railroad track, and the engineer was Hindu, and he made such a desperate effort to stop that train, to keep from hitting that cow and killing it, that he literally threw that train off of a bridge into the river, and 3,000 human beings died trying to save the life of one single cow. And I see an Indian brother nodding his head. That's exactly what happened. Amen. That, my friend, is spiritual darkness. I've been in so-called Christian nations, such as Brazil, where they celebrate Easter in such a way that they literally reenact the crucifixion of Christ. I seen a man one day strip himself right down to his waist in a little village, 100,000 people gathered on each side of that dirt road. And he stripped himself down to his waist, and somebody that was there took glass and literally cut his back until his back was bleeding. And then he took a manila rope in his hand and began to lash himself across the back as he walked to a rendezvous where he was going to be crucified in the likeness of Christ. And by the time he got there, his trousers was literally saturated with his own blood. And blood had dripped onto his feet, and the blood had mingled with the dust of that street. His back was nothing but mutilated, bleeding flesh. And in years past, and years before that, they had always just tied him to the cross and lift him up. And when his head would fall in unconsciousness, they would take him down from the cross and take him to a hospital. And he would convalesce and heal until he would do it again a year later. But the year that I was in the Philippines, he said, "I want nails driven through my hands. I want nails driven through my feet." And they did it. And when his head dropped, he was not unconscious. He was dead. And he went to hell. That, my friend, is spiritual darkness. In the nation of Thailand, where I spent so many years, there are a Buddhist people. And on the trip to the far north to preach in a Presbyterian conference, where 146 of them got baptized in Jesus' name, I came through a mountain pass. Very narrow mountain pass. Those roads are all changed now, thank God. We've got some good roads in Thailand. But in those days, they were very rough and very, and narrow. And it just took forever to make a little bit of a trip. And we came through this narrow mountain pass. And I looked up on the side of the mountain, and it was literally covered with little houses that the best way I could describe them, they looked like the most elaborate, beautiful bird houses you ever seen in your life. And Brother Jarang Ratanabhutta, who was with me, a graduate of an American university and the first one to be baptized in Thailand, I said to him, "What is the meaning of this?" He said, "Brother Cole, these are all spirit houses. The people are very superstitious, and they have built all these houses to appease evil spirits. And they are very, very afraid when they come through here. And this place is called the Gates of Hell." And just as I was telling me that, a whole busload of people came. Every single person on the bus, including the driver, got down from the bus and went over towards those spirit houses and knelt down and bowed their face to the ground 3 times before those spirit houses, before they would get back on the bus and drive on. A car came, 3 passengers, all 3 of them did the same thing. Well, we got in our car without bowing. And we went on to the conference, and 146 was baptized in Jesus' name. And when we came back through there, I said, "Brother Jarang Ratanabhutta, let me get down from the car again." He said, "What in the world do you want to do, Brother Cole?" I said, "I'll show you." And I walked over to where all those spirit houses were, and I lifted my hands, and at the top of my voice, I shouted, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Hallelujah. But we do have to be aware of His power. He does have a controlling power. I know that when I was in Thailand, for the first 3 years, we did not have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We had a reformation. When Presbyterian people get baptized in Jesus' name, that is not revival. That is reformation. Revival is when people repent and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And they were not receiving the Holy Ghost. In fact, we were there for 3 years before only 12 people received the Holy Ghost. And one day the Holy Ghost moved upon me. The spirit of prophecy came upon me. And I called my wife's attention to it. I said, "Get pencil and paper. The Lord is going to speak through me." And the Lord prophesied through me of what He was going to do in the nation of Thailand. And then He said something through me that I could not understand. He said, "I have given you power and authority over the prince of the nation of Thailand." And it was in the very next week that we had the great outpouring. 40 men were sitting under an open shelter. Only one of them had the Holy Ghost. And suddenly the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And instantaneously all 40 of them began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And those men went out as a flame of fire from that conference. And from that day forward, we averaged over 100 a month being filled with the Holy Ghost. There were weeks when 500 received the Holy Ghost. Something had happened that I couldn't understand. God had given us authority over the spiritual prince of that nation. Praise God. Now, I believe that God has answered that prayer for America. The intercessors in America have prevailed. And God has given us authority over the prince. Amen. Well, you all want to believe that, but you don't really believe it. It's true whether you believe it or not. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it untrue. Amen. It has happened. Someone says the devil fights the UPC all the time. day and night, 7 days a week. That's not true. Takes him about 20 seconds to take care of us. Just put some stupid idea in someone's mind and puts it across, and we get in a big fight, and the devil clasps his hands and says, that takes care of them for another year. If we can stop our fighting and get a hold of God in intercession, can you tell me? Can you hear me? God wants to do something among us. Brother Haney, please forgive me. I have never said this in a church pulpit ever before. And maybe I've taken too much authority here tonight. You forgive me if I have. But I am alarmed at what is happening to us. The opportunity that is before us. And we are wasting the opportunity of God. And God has broken the back of satanic power in Europe. The devil has held Europe bound for 50 years. And it was revealed and manifested itself in communism. But communism's back is broken. The doors are swung wide open. Let's don't piddle around. Let's get a hold of God and reach these nations for the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Asia. The devil is a snap in Asia. You can see more demon possession in Asia than any other part of the world, unless it would be Africa. There is more demon possession. But they are a bunch of wimp devils. They really are. It's the easiest thing in the world is to conquer devils in Asia. One woman came into one of my services, and she looked like she was expecting a child any moment. She was very large. And I got up to preach, and she stepped up to me and said, I've been like this for 39 years. Heal me. I knew she was possessed of the devil. I said, you sit down, and when I get through preaching, I'll heal you.
Glory.
And she sat down, and she was full of devils. And at the conclusion of the service, after many receiving the Holy Ghost, we laid hands upon her, just merely touching her and commanding the devils. Her stomach swelled. It came into her neck until her neck swelled out that far beyond her head. And the devil spoke and said, you have no authority over me. I will not come out. I said, you're a liar. You come on out in Jesus' name. And she was instantaneously delivered by the power of God. Well, why are there so many Orientals that don't have the truth? I'll tell you why. Because they have not heard it. No one has preached it to them. We've got 13 missionaries among 4 billion people. 4 missionaries! Do you know how many preachers there would be in California if you had the same ratio as Asia has of preachers? You'd have one single preacher in the whole state of California. All Asia has to do is hear the message. Whether it be India, Burma, Thailand, Laos, you've got a church here of Asians here because they have heard the gospel. They have come in. They're making strong leaders. God is anointing them. All Asia needs is just simply to hear the gospel, and they will receive it. And the scripture says, to him that hath much, much is required. And there's more strength in this local church than there are in 50% of our districts in the United Pentecostal Church International in America. You have more strength. You have more preachers than in many of our districts. And you have much. And God is going to require of this church much. If you think for one second that just because this church is big and large that you can get by with it sitting somewhere in the pew somewhere twiddling your thumbs, hey, you've got another thinker coming. God is going to deal with you if you do that. If you come in here and just sit and listen to people like this sing and listen to people like this teach and listen to people like this preach and twiddle your thumbs, let me tell you something. You're going to come face to face with God. God wants to stir this congregation. I know you've done a lot already, but God is wanting this congregation to rise up and be a mighty light that will touch the entire world. And it's going to happen. But you see, before it can happen, you're going to have to strengthen the base. The root of the tree has got to be as strong as the branches is long. And if it is not, the first little storm comes along, the tree is going to fall over. We've seen it happen a lot of times where there's a storm and great, beautiful trees reaching out, and the root structure was not strong enough to hold that tree, and it collapsed in the wind and fell over and just tear it right out of the ground. You cannot restore that tree. There's no way that you can push it back up. There's no way that that tree will ever grow another inch once it falls. You cannot. All you can do is just cut it up and carry it away. It's all you can do. Amen. And God is wanting this church to reach out as never before. God is wanting this church and the ministry of this church to infect every single local church of the United Pentecostal Church in this nation and Canada. God is wanting this church to affect all of our mission fields. You listening to me? God's wanting this church to do it. And in order to do it, we're going to have to strengthen our base. And the base is prayer. We're going to have to strengthen the base. We're going to have more of you giving your ministry to prayer. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that one can put 1,000 to flight. And two can put 10,000 to flight. What does that mean? People know that means devils. Hallelujah. This church has got such a strong body and such a strong membership. You could bring teams together. A prayer that would literally shake this world. Move this organization and help us to get our act together and help us to reach the people of this world. Hallelujah. Somebody else say hallelujah, amen, or something. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I praise you, Almighty God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that we have authority over the enemy. That we have power over the enemy. And it's through intercessory prayer. Through prayer in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Overcoming. One of the great strengths of my ministry is my wife, who has been an intercessor over the years. Sister Shirley Cole. She just absolutely supports me with her prayers. Hardly ever travels with me. But she is constantly in tune with me through prayer. Amen. I remember when we traveled in Asia as an evangelist. And we were going from one nation to another. And we had learned that when you move from one government area to another, that you have to reconquer the spirits that you're going to be dealing with. So we stopped in Singapore. We were in a hotel there for a couple of days. And I remember she began her prayer. She prayed intercessorily that day for 4 hours without stopping. And finally, I realized that she was just exhausting herself completely and totally. And I said, "Shirley, you have got to stop praying. You have got to stop praying." She looked up to me and she said, "I have so much pain in my chest that I cannot get up off of this floor." And I picked her up off of the floor of that hotel room and laid her on the bed. And she continued to pray and seek God. We went to a nation that in the past 2 years had only had 30 receive the Holy Ghost. And in the next 21 days, we've seen 567 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On one particular island, there was 256 received the Holy Ghost. There was not one single person that had the Holy Ghost before that meeting on that island. Today, on that same island, there are over 10,000 people baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But my wife became very, very sick during that time. In fact, she became so sick that every time her head would move, she would go unconscious. I had to put her in a Jeep and sit behind her. And I held her head with my hands for 8 hours in that Jeep, because every time her head would move, she would go unconscious. And then I put her on a train. They did not have a Pullman or any bed on the train. And they allowed me to take a blanket and lay it on the floor down between the seats. And I laid my wife on the floor of that train between the seats for 10 hours. And then I flew her by plane to a good hospital, 2,000 miles. They thought she had had a cerebral hemorrhage. But after they had examined her for 7 days, they came to me and said, "What in the name of God have you people been doing?" I said, "Why?" They said, "Your wife is dying of a broken heart. And the blood and the water has separated. And the blood is coming through the pores of her skin. The pressure. You know why? Because there were so few intercessors that they had to carry such a heavy load. My wife can no longer pray like that. Her body, her physical being will not tolerate it. There's going to have to be some of you young people. There's going to have to be some of you people in this choir up here that's going to have to take her place and take other people's place and make yourself available to God and say, "God, I offer myself to you. I make myself available to you, Lord. I want to be used of you. Here is my strong body. Here is my strong spirit. Here is my strong mind. I will touch you. I will pray against the forces of hell." Amen. And if you will pray in that fashion, let me tell you something. It will move God. It will shake the very pits of hell. It will break down Berlin walls. It will break down communism. It will break strongholds of the devil that will open the doors that men and women can be touched of God. Hallelujah. This church has the potential of having the greatest committee of intercessors of any church that we have in North America. Not only because of your size, but because of the burden that I feel right now. Let me tell you, there is a burden sweeping across this congregation that's touching almost every single heart. Hallelujah. There is a great possibility that this church could become a powerful, not a 1,000-watt station or a 100,000-watt station. It could be a 1,000,000-watt station of prayer just reaching the entire globe 24 hours a day, day and night, bombarding heaven, supporting men like Brother Walmer and our missionaries and our national preachers that are facing hell on a daily basis. There could be something going out from this church that could just be reaching and touching and moving and strengthening. I went to a little church one time, got up to speak, and just as I did, there was a very lovely lady, beautifully dressed, very modestly, but very beautifully dressed. It was obvious that she was not a poor woman. And the Spirit of God moved upon her, and she spoke in other tongues as powerful. This happened many years ago. And she spoke so powerful, more powerful than I'd ever heard in my life up till that day. And that church had been taught that when someone speaks with tongues, to become silent and wait for the interpretation. And I did not receive an interpretation. And I don't believe in saying, "Thus saith the Lord," unless the Lord has said something. And I received no interpretation, so I was silent also. And that little church of about 45 or 50 people became very, very nervous. There was just a nervousness went across that congregation because they felt that they were out of order. Because this woman had spoke so profoundly and there was no interpretation. And so to take away their anxiety, I prayed in my own heart. I said, "God, reveal to me what this woman has said, that I may speak it to the people and bring peace to their hearts." And just as I prayed that prayer in my own heart, she spoke again, not immodestly, but very modestly. She fell over on the pew, and I never heard anyone speak in tongues like she had spoke, like she was speaking in tongues. And the Lord made me to understand perfectly what she was saying. Now, this was many, many years ago, even before I went to Thailand. That's more than 32 years ago that this happened, when Red China was literally bound by Mao Zedong and his communistic forces. If you had stepped your foot in communist China in those days, you would have never walked out of that place alive. Never. Not in those days. And God revealed to me what that woman was saying. And she was praying for a Jesus name pastor in the middle of Red China. And we didn't even know the pastor existed. And through the power of prayer, in a little town in Ohio, she was reaching around the world and touching a preacher in the middle of Red China with her prayer. Let me tell you something. God has put within our grasp tools that are literally powerful that we can move this world with. And I feel that this church is ripe for it. I know this is not a normal Sunday night message, but this church is ripe for a tremendous step into a new dimension. My son-in-law is an intercessor. I was in Washington, D.C. on some important business. And I got a phone call from my daughter, Brenda. And she said, "Dad, I don't know what's wrong with Ronnie, but he has been praying all day long. And he cannot stop. And he has become very, very sick. And he is having diarrhea and vomiting at the same time. He is extremely sick." And I said, "Sweetheart, I don't know what he's got a hold of. But I tell you, he's not praying for somebody that's got a headache. He's got a hold of some serious problem. And you tell him to hang on. And I'm going to go to prayer here in Washington, D.C.
And I will focus my strength and my energy toward his situation. And I did. And in 1 hour's time, she called again and said, he has relaxed and went to sleep. Whatever it was has been accomplished. You don't know his name. You have never met him. Probably never will. He'll never stand in your pulpit and you clap your hands for his preaching because he's not a preacher. But let me tell you, when Jesus comes, I wonder what that young man accomplished that day. I wonder what he did that day. Time will tell. And you can be insignificant as far as this world is concerned. You can even be insignificant as far as this church is concerned. And get a hold of a ministry of intercession. And I believe one single person can change the course of a whole nation. And God is calling this church to it. I'm not speaking this way to you because you have not excelled. We don't have a church anywhere in the world that has excelled, especially in North America, more than this church has excelled. I'm not here scolding you. I'm here challenging you. Let's take another step in the will of God. Let's reach a new dimension that the Lord is calling this church to tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is able to touch us. If you want to be used of God in this capacity, if you want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, now I don't expect everybody in this audience to respond. I would be astounded if you did. But there are some of you that God is speaking to and wanting you to become a part of this ministry. And some of you are very young. God is reaching out to our young here tonight, making themselves available. If you want to make yourself available right now, I want you to make a public confession of it by just coming, getting up from your seat, coming out of the balcony, out of the choir, wherever. And I want you to come and stand with me here in the front of this church right now. My